depths, or, you know, so we talked about the idea that the most powerful factor in deciding how to proceed is what we call the chazaka de meikara, the chazaka kamaisa. What was the status quo ante of the person? Was tame going in safik motzi midevada. In that direction, the person was tahor going in, so then we can assume that the person retains their tara. So we're going to start on the top of Samach Dalid Amad Beis, and God willing, proceed for the next daf and a half, as we've been keeping up with. So Amar Rav Hamanuna, Nazir Vosa Pesach, Shaholchu, right, these are a Nazir and a person who's on his way to do his Karban Pesach, so Darais institutions, and they had become Tame, and they're in the process, they're on the seventh day, they've undergone everything that they need to do, the Hazaos, the sprinkling of the ashes of the Paraduma, days 3 and day 7, Shaholchu bekever atahom, and then they encounter kever atahom bishavi ishalahen. It's their seventh day tahorim. So my time, delo alima tumas atahom lemister. So the Gemara wants to know why is a tumas atahom insufficient to render them tame. So masiv Rava, well, Rava says, well, wait a second. I thought we had principles to govern this case. Yara the tame tumas ameis tame shecheskas tame tame shecheskas tar tari. So Rava says, shouldn't it just, you know, boil back down to exactly what we said previously. What we said previously is the chazaka de meikara is what really counts here. So Amalei Madinu Chabanazir Shevechusar Tiglachas. He says, well, okay, I could, you know, concede the point as far as a nazir who hasn't yet undertaken the process of giluach, of shearing the hair off of his head, that he hasn't fully achieved his degree of tara. Samalei Rava, af ana modin lecha. He says, and I would concede. But osa Pesach, delo mechusar velo klum. He says, you know, with respect to Pesach, it's not as if he's missing anything that needs to happen. So Abai says, is that really so? Amalei Abayiva mechusar harev shemesh. Right. And remember that the person isn't fully tahor. He hasn't established that default status until nightfall, until tzeisak ochavim. So yes, he underwent sprinkling on day 3 and day 7, hazoh shlishi v'shvi, yes, he went to the mikvah, he went to tmila, but he requires harev shemesh to become fully tahor. So that's true, so if this incident occurred prior to that, so shouldn't he be judged as one who was initially tameh, and therefore, the tumas hatahom will be alima, listor, it will be sufficient to keep him in that status. Okay, so amalei shimshim emela arva, v'afabai hadr be detanya, yom melos, tavi toch melos, lo savi, yachol lo savi aleda shalifnei melos, aval tavi aleda shalachar melos, v'tipater mishdeya. And the Gemara says that Abaye retracted, and we're going to prove it from the case of a karban of the yoleda. So let's say a woman was obligated in one karban of yoledes, and then she became obligated in a second karban of yoledes at a later point in time, after the melos. The melos depends on whether it's a male or female, 40 days or 80 days, as the case may be. So tamid omer v'melos yimei tara, b'yom melos tavi, toch melos lo savi. Okay, so that we have a principle that she's not able to take one korban to cover two different birth processes, one live birth, one unfortunate miscarriage. Omer v'kana shari hacha, de mechasra korban. So Rav Kahana says, but that's fundamentally different because that woman, right, has yet to bring her korban. There's what we call mechusar maisa, that there's an actual action which is deficient. So Hasanami, we said, what about in our case, michser harev shemesh amalei abaye, this is the line we were building on, to shimsha memela arva. So again, so Abaye retracted his position. He said, you know what? The night comes on its own. You don't have to do anything to run out the clock. So because you don't have to do anything, first major point for the day, to run out the clock, shimsha memela arva, so if I went through the process, I became tamei lemeis, but on day 3 I had the ashes, day 7 I had the ashes, day 7 I had the mikvah, and now I'm just waiting for nightfall to come, I don't have to do anything. So I should be granted the default status now as one who's tahor, and if there would be some suffix which would arise, namely, the Tumas Hatahom, I am entitled to my presumptive status of Tahara. Now you'll tell me, but I wasn't really Tahor yet. I have to wait for nightfall. That comes on its own. It's not the same as having to go to the mikvah. It's not the same as having to bring a karban. It's not the same as having to do something undergoing the sprinkling of the ashes. It's automatic. You know, this is my big argument, you know, with people who get very into celebrating birthdays. You know, it's automatic. You know, it's just time. And Mela Arva, you know, you should celebrate other things. Birthdays, I don't know. It's like, you know, Shemesh Mela Arva. Yeah, Yosef. Yeah, what's the Yosef, I'm with you. What do you need the specialized kippah for, you know? Yeah. You know? Just get the man in Aliyah and, you know, get to work.
That's what they used to do 50 years ago. Nothing else.
Okay, so the Mishnah says, Amotzi meis mitchila mushkav kedarko notlo ve'est tfusa. So, shnayim notlan ve'est tfusasan. Here is the topic that we're going to deal with for the remainder of the daf, is what establishes something basically as a cemetery. We're not going to be able to reinter people, which, by the way, has its pluses and minuses. The minuses is if you want to use that particular area for something, you have to respect the fact that it's a Beis Olam. You have to respect the fact that it is an established cemetery. There are three bodies, and you're not going to be able to be mefane meis makom lemakom. You're not going to be able to reinter people from that location. On the other hand, the positive side, as we're going to see in just a little bit, is that when you define the outer boundaries of that, beis akvaros, and everything around it, everything outside of it, is okay, right? So that's, you know, pluses and minuses here. So we're saying that it takes three meisim, top of samachay amud aleph. Bode kemenu, so how do I determine what the outer boundaries are, right? Because clearly you're finding bodies, so maybe there are 4, 5, 10, 100. So you have to go out esrim amos, which is an interesting amount of, you know, we find esrim ama usually longitudinally. Here we're talking about it latitudinally. Bode kemenu lahalan esrim ama, matza echad besov esrim ama, bode kemenu lahalan esrim ama. Every time you find what you think is the outer boundary of the cemetery, you have to go another 20 amos. So we're going to determine in the Gemara what a tfusa is, what exactly means, but to be tofes is to catch something. It means there's going to be some, you know, fragmentation area, if I could appeal to a metaphor from a different area of life. Says Gemara Rav Yehuda, matzah, meaning you happen to find it, problem matzah. None of this is related to a case where you knew where the grave marker was. Meis prat laharuk, that somebody, God forbid, was killed in that location. Mushkav, that's the language of the Mishnah, prat liyoshev kedarko, that you find somebody in a sitting position but dead. Prat l'chsharosha munach ben yarchosav, you find somebody in the fetal position. So tani ula bar chanina meis shechoser, you have only parts of the corpse, ein lo tfusa, velo shchunas kvaros, v'cholhani maitaima. Why do we make these distinctions? What difference should it make if the basic determination that we're trying to arrive at is a cemetery night? So v'cholani maitaima lo aminan dilma oved kochavim ho, because maybe it's not actually a kever Yisrael, okay? Because a kever Yisrael would typically not be found in this format, right? We would find a person mushkav kedarko with dignity laid out in a particular way. So matzah shnayim rosh shalzeh b'zad margalosav shalzeh, you find two bodies head to toe, okay, so one's head is next to the feet of the other. This is outside the realm. Again, the presumption here is that this is not a kever Yisrael. Matzah shlosha, person finds three, which, you know, in the Mishnah you thought that was the magic number, but one was already known to you, shnayim tchila, and two serendipitously, o shnayim tchila, o shnayim Yiduim ein lahem tfusa ve'ein lahem shchunas beis akvaros. That's also outside. Again, it has to be a situation where you honestly just found three graves. So ma'aseh Rabbi Shavi shabadak matzah shnayim yiduim ve'echad tchila, two that he had information about and one serendipitously. Ubikesh la'asos en shchunas kvaros. So Amar lo Rabbi Kiva, no way. Kol sheyagata the rikya gata lo amar shchunas kvaros ela l'shlosha yiduim o l'shlosha tchila. Okay, so he says there are only two ways of establishing something as a shchunas beis hakvaros, as an official cemetery. Either you find a cemetery, in other words, it was clear that people were being buried here, you had no idea about it, or you knew that three people had been buried here, establishing it as a cemetery. So we have to meet one of those two criteria. So the Gemara says, notlan v'es tefusa san. You have to take them and their tefusa. Say, echida mitfusa, revihuda merkra, unisasani mi mitzrayim. When Yaakov wanted to be buried, not in Egypt, but in Israel, he said, lift me up from Egypt, tol imi, so take with me, v'chama shir tefusa. So what is the shir of tefusa? Pirish Rebbe Lazar, notel afar tichuach, v'chofar bibisula, shlosha etzbaos. So you should take the afar and dig around it three fingers worth, okay? Because, again, not to, you know, be more graphic than the Gemara is, but the Gemara, you know, is pretty direct, okay? So what's going to happen is that the body is going to decompose into the surrounding afar. So you have to take this amount to make sure that we're taking anywhere where the parts of the body might be. Okay. So meisvei v'chamashir tfusa, pirshu ablazar v'tzadok, notol asakismin, again, things that are, you know, clearly came from an aron. V'esaksasos v'zorek esavadoin. You throw out anything that clearly is exogenous, wood and the like. U'meniach esasvekos v'ashar mitzarev l'rov binyano shomeis l'rov atzamos l'malei sarvad rekev. Okay, so you get rid of anything which is clearly structural and you keep the rest. Okay, huda amar ki atan etanya v'chamash yirtusam rav yochan mishum ben azayin notel afar tichuach. He had a different tradition, as we saw before, any of the moist soil around it, because we think that some of the fluids from the body presumably enter that area, and shalosh etzbaos. Okay, so what are the things that we do have to be sensitive to when we talk about being mifana meis, mimakom lemakom, if we don't establish a shchunas beis hakvaros? Again, once you establish a shchunas beis hakvaros, reinterment is no longer a possibility, again, unless you're moving people to Israel, or you're moving people identified mesim to a kever avos, so then you can talk about it. But we're not talking about a meis mushlach, meis mushkav in the middle of a derech, so we're talking about now a cemetery. So one of the sensitivities that we have, if we don't cross that threshold, if we're talking about a possible situation of pinoy hameis, is that we have to make sure that kavod hameis, we're taking all of the meis and making sure that it's in one space. Okay, so we talked about bode kemenu, the idea of moving outwards from the last identified guf to make sure that we're not missing where the markers should be. Samachay amibay. Samarava badakupina, badakupina. You're going one at a time. Badak v'eshkach lohaim v'fani legabe hanachtrei v'lohanachtrei legabe haichad. So Rava says, so once you identify the third, so you're not going to be able to be mevatel the one to the two or two to the one. So you could darmi mirava kevan chinas nereshus lifanos. So there was a different tradition that once we're, you know, sort of moving one at a time mifana lahon. So why don't we just say it's a shchunas kvaros? You can't touch it. V'leshvinu shchunas kvaros. It's a cemetery. Amr shlakish ila matzu v'tiharu eretz Yisrael. So you're going to see this in the opposite direction in a second. That the real issue, the real story here, is the question of Taras Eretz Yisrael. We don't want Mason, we don't want Eretz Yisrael to become one giant cemetery, because you have Kohanim walking around, you have Taros to be concerned about, you have Truma to be concerned about, Kachim to be concerned about, and the like. So we have to really make sure that we know where all of the Mason are. We don't just want randomness. So if you had a situation where you hadn't had a designated area, maybe they looked for an Elah. You know, maybe in Ela is kind of an excuse to be Mitar Eretz Yisrael. So here, even though it really did add up to three, but as long as you were Mifana one at a time, you could kind of restart the clock. That was a controversial theory. So Badak Me'asim Amav Lo Matzamai. So Amar V'Nasha B'Yirmi Amarav Shchunas Kvaros. So you declare this the outer boundary of the Shchunas Kvaros. So my time Amar Shlakish Ela Matzu V'tiharu es Eretz Yisrael, because they want to be mitahir Eretz Yisrael. Right? In other words, you could say 20 amos, isn't that a little bit arbitrary, right? Nathan could go out another 5 amos, right, now 25 amos, and say, hey, look, I found another one, or 30 amos, or 50 amos, or 100 amos, right? 20 amos is just the shiur, right? So again, so Reish Lakish is pointing out that there's a dialectical balance here. On the one hand, we want to make sure to have kavod ames. We're not looking to avoid that. So we're not, if there's really a cemetery here that we didn't know about, a shchunas beis hakvaros, we're not going to start moving around, you know, a significant number of bodies. On the other hand, we would like to establish an outer boundary here, and we're not operating on the basis of somebody gave us a map and said, here's where the 1,000 people are buried. That's not the situation. These things. So we want to determine an outer boundary because, as I noted before, determination of an outer boundary is helpful in so much as it enables us to preserve the tahara of the rest of Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah says, "Kol savik negayim b'tzchila tahar ad shaloniskak l'tuma mishaniskak l'tuma sveiko tameh." So any savik of negayim. Okay, we were talking before about Sveikos in terms of Tumas Meis. We have a default status quo ante principle of Tahor until Tumah is officially declared. Okay, so Minani Milei, Amr Yehuda, Merav, Amakra, the Pasuk says, L'taharo, first Tahara, O L'tamoho, Pasuk Bo Akasa, V'tahara Tzchila. So Yahachi, if that's so, Afilo Mishanizka, K'tumah Nami Sveiko Tahor. So then that should be the case, that even if a person is known to be Tamei, so any suffix that arises should be presumed to be tar. So like Yitmar de Rav Yehuda Marav, Oha Yitmar, in Baharas, right, this is, you know, a principle that we have, Baharas is the lesion, Kadma l'seir lavan, if that precedes the white hair, Tameh, Vim seir lavan, Kodim l'baharas, tar. So that's one of the halachos in Tumas Degoyim, if the white hair precedes the Baharas, it's tar. So suffix Tameh. In such a situation, we don't know, it's a suffix, then it should be rendered Tameh. So Rav Yeshua Amar Kiha, right, where it's the skin starts to discolor. So my kiyam Rav Yehuda kiyavatar. So v'doma kiyavatameh. So Rav Yehuda marav amar kra l'taro o l'tamo ho pasach v'akasav b'tahara tchila. So we do have, right, and again, if you learn Masech Tanagan, you can get into all the details of this, but just as we had when it came to principles of Tumas Meis, the relevance of the status quo ante, so too when it comes to Tumas Negayim, there is a relevance of the status quo ante rooted in the idea of Lataharo o Latamo, that if the person is determined to be Tahor going into the evaluation, and all we have is a Safek, once again, the principle of Ein Safek, Motzi Midei Vada. Okay, now we're going to move on to yet another kind of Tuma called Tumas Zav, Tumas Zava, right, when a man or a woman has a flow from their reproductive organ, woman being red, man being whitish, there are certain situations where we can determine that that is actually Tumas Zav, Tumah Yotze Migufo, a serious form of Tumah, in Av HaTumah, Min HaTor. Now, there is a profound difference between Zav and Zava, insofar as Zava is even Machmas Ones, even a situation where there is a mitigating factor, or more, and a zav is not considered to have a chaloshim zav, the male machmas onas. So one of the things that we do is we try to figure out, was this flow caused by diet? Was it caused by psychological factors? Was it caused by dietary factors, health factors, and the like? So b'shiva drachim bodkines hazav, there are 7 different questions that we asked. Achlo niskak leziva, b'machal, b'mishta, his diet. B'masa, was he exerting himself? B'kvitza, was he jumping around, physically exerting himself? B'choli, was he sick? B'mara, did he see something that scared him? B'hirhor, was he stimulated in some way? However, mishaniskak leziva, once a person is determined, ein bodkin oso. Unso sveiko v'shechva zaro tmeim shiraglayim adavar. And from that point on, even if it was machmas ones, even if it was machmas safek, even if it was machmas shechva zera, we're going to assume raglayim adavar that there's ziva, okay? Hamakes chavero ve'amdu lemisa, person who strikes another person, and again, this is just a situation which is analogous in one way, and the doctors initially thought the person would not survive this critical blow, ve'hekel mimashahaya, and then there is a stabilization of his conclusion, a condition, and le'achar mikan hichvid, and then there is, again, a worsening, deterioration of the condition. So then he becomes chayv. Nechamya omer pater shiraglayim ledavar. Nechamya says he becomes pater because from that point on, we have to assume that there was some other factor that caused the person to pass away. In other words, it's raglaim adavar that once he improved, so maybe he got an infection, maybe he caught pneumonia in the hospital. So we're not talking about a situation where morally or pragmatically we can, you know, disregard what happened, but in terms of, you know, labeling the guy a capital murderer. So exactly. So we're just picking up on the point of raglaim ledavar, that using that expression. Once somebody is a zav, and then we have a suffix, we assume that it's really ziva because raglaim ledavar. We've already gone down that road. So Rabbi Nechamia wants to say, so too in a situation where somebody, you know, had an improvement and then they have a deterioration, raglaim ledavar. Okay. So minani midam Rabbi Nasan Rakrava zav es zovo l'ri'ya shlishis ishkish l'nekeva. Okay, so he's compared to a nekeva. Again, when it comes to a woman, there is no din of onus. They're arguing about the role of S. Zov, 1, 2, as the S, Zovo, is 3. So from that point on, we're going to determine him to be a Zov, and we're not going to engage, he's going to be the same as nekeva, even if it's machmas onus, we assume that there's tuma here. Esim Kamifki, Rabbi Elazar Darish Esim. Rabbi Elazar says we are Darish the Esim. Rabbanan Lo Darshi Esim. They don't count this as an S altogether. Okay. Very good. The Rabbanan look past that S. Okay. So just to talk about the major issues that we encountered today. So we talked about this idea of the Shchunas Pesach Varos. And again, we wanted to strike a balance. Kavod HaMeis on the one hand. Very, very significant. We're not going to move, you know, a full cemetery, to be sure. On the other hand, Taras Eretz Yisrael, where we want to at least establish a containment principle. So if you don't have, you have a random body, you don't want that in the middle of the road. Because the principle is that, you know, we want Taras Eretz Yisrael on a major thoroughfare, or whatever it is, we're going to be concerned about that. On the other hand, we want to be able to determine the outer boundaries. So that was the negotiation that we had. The second point that we saw today, second major point, was the idea of presumptive status. Presumptive status is very, very, very important. And presumptive status isn't only important by Tumas Meis, it's also important by Tumas Negai. Okay, so we shall hold it up there. And we're going to conclude, God willing, tomorrow with the Siyum. So thank you very much, Nathan. We very much appreciate it. It's a beautiful thing. Tonight at 8 o'clock, for anybody who's interested, we have an introduction to Masechta Sota. Highly recommended. And we look forward to being able to move forward, in the coming week, even though Pesach is right around the corner. Daf Yomi, forward march.
Great. Thank you, Rabbi Friedman.
Okay.
Will tonight be recorded by chance?
Yeah, I can record it, absolutely.
I have two productions today. I don't know. I'll be at 8 o'clock tonight. Thank you.
All right. We'll hope to see you, but otherwise, there's always a recording.
Thanks so much.
Okay, bye-bye.